The Dode Fox Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Dode Fox Podcast. I'm Paul, he's Ronnie, and we've hit a wee bump in the road, but we've been here before this season. Our thanks to Ian Hucks for being our guest last week, an open and honest conversation for 2 hours in the same room. A locked room, but anyway. Join the conversation on our socials. We're at Dode Fox Podcast on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram.
Coming up on this week's episode, St Johnstone Review, the good, bad and the ugly, Ross County Preview, the Lone Report, the Women's Team, the Academy, live show, Who Am I, and On This Day with the Arab Archive. It's all coming up in episode 193 of the Dode Fox Podcast.
Hi, I'm Dave Bowman and welcome to the Dode Fox Podcast. You better be listening.
So welcome back to the award-winning Dode Fox Podcast with the fries dipped in a chocolate milkshake, Paul McNichol, and on doggy dad duties, Ronnie Costello. So, Paul, Ian Hucks last week, have you settled down? Have you listened back? Have you said 5 words during that 2 hours?
I did listen back, yeah, I enjoyed it. Like we've said it numerous times, when you actually speak to these guys, it's hard to take it all in the moment, especially when somebody's hair looks nice. But it was really good to listen back to it. He was quite honest and open. There was some uncomfortable questions from his point of view, I would imagine, when you're speaking about defeats and heavy defeats and letting James Tavernier take the bar off you, things like that. But it was all in good fun. And he was a great sport to be as well. So I did enjoy listening back.
Yeah, 100%. Well done to our winners as well, who won our signed prints that we gave away during the week across our social media. And there will be a framed print as part of the raffle at the live show as well. But we'll talk more about that a bit later on. Before we get into it, Paul, I have to take care of a little bit of business this morning. It's been a Sunday, of course, and some people like to start the Sunday with a Sunday breakfast, all right? Now, as you can imagine, I'm very much a fan of the Sunday breakfast. And bearing in mind, the full works doesn't just have to be on a Sunday, all right? But if I was to offer you the perfect Sunday breakfast, you're at a buffet, you could pick anything, what some items are going to make it to your plate?
You're definitely going to have bacon, egg, sausage. I'm going to go beans. I would steer clear of the tomatoes. I'm not a big fan of the fried tomatoes. Maybe a tatty scone, bit of toast.
Black pudding?
Bit lorn.
Maybe haggis?
Black pudding, a wee bit of haggis. Maybe even throw a bit of polony on there.
Bit of mushrooms?
I'm looking for a heart attack by 11 a.m. essentially.
Yeah, the works.
The works.
Well, that's not what I had this morning, right? Because, I mean, I've been on my own all this weekend because Claire's been away at a hen do, so I've been on doggy dad duties, as I said, right? Perfectly fine. Quite happy with my breakfast choice. A photo arrived on my phone this morning at 8:30 a.m. Now, I will just tell you right now, this person was not in this country, but he was in a country that pretty much offers the full breakfast, regardless of where you go. España.
Uh-huh.
On this plate is sausages. Bacon.
Winner.
Black pudding.
Standard.
Beans.
Mm-hmm.
On top of these beans, are churros.
Okay, that's that's a curveball. That is from left field, if we're keeping with the baseball terminology on that one. That's unusual, to say the very least.
That's offensive.
That it's never entered my thoughts when I'm sitting down in the barrels to order a breakfast to go with churros. That's obscene. Yeah, that's obscene.
That's not good. That's not good behaviour.
That can't be healthy.
Well, I mean, given what we just discussed, probably not. Followed up with a beer, I'll give you that. But how drunk do you need to be at 8:30 in the morning to throw churros on top of beans? There's a lot of questions going on there.
There is. Has he been him? Has he been him? That's the first question. Or has he been spiked?
I don't know. His eyes are still, and mouth, jaw is still on the floor, not through narcotics, but because of the Sticky Vicky show that he's been to see. So,
holy Jesus.
There's a lot going on that plate of food. I was offended on behalf of the plate.
And rightly so, for what I've just seen. That needs a wee bit of explanation.
Unbelievable scenes. Talking of unbelievable scenes, we'll get to the refereeing performance yesterday. But anyway, it was a trip along to Perth to face St Johnstone, and I'll apologise right now because I was screaming this should be the first game after the split, and over the 90 minutes we certainly didn't do enough to win the game, but I'm sure there'll be plenty of talking points of what happened during the game. But you're off on your wee merry travels half an hour along the road, and you're met with an unchanged side, which wasn't that surprising.
No, and I suppose it was in a way, it was a bit of a bonus, because we had heard that Aina and McGrath were certainly two people that were carrying knocks. So to see that they had been past fit to play was a bonus, yeah. You don't be changing sides when you've won three games on the spin. So it was probably the team that I would have picked. And I was really confident before yesterday. I think that's how I'm still quite a wee bit deflated about how things panned out, because I was really confident going into yesterday.
Yeah, and I mean, everyone knows that St Johnstone haven't been in the best bit of form. That was actually their first win, home win of 2023, which
first in 6 months, Rondo.
Yeah. Yeah, which got them, you know, 5 points clear of the scramble down the bottom for the playoff. And obviously this is kind of where it gets to that interest part of the season, because everyone's playing everyone. So you're kind of looking around at other results. And yesterday was a perfect example when all three of the bottom three clubs were playing other teams. You know, no one was playing each other on that. So you were kind of hoping you look after yourself. But then on the other thing, you're thinking that certain teams that play on plastic pitches could maybe head up north and do you a favour, even though they've been Dugshire FC for a few weeks. Motherwell, probably in the best form of the lot, given they've been going. You're thinking, if they could just beat Kilmarnock, and then we could look after ourselves. Didn't quite go that way, did it, yesterday?
No, it didn't. I'd like to touch on the other results first. I wasn't very optimistic about the chances of Livingston doing anything. They're in no man's land just now. It's a nothing game. They're not in any trouble dropping any more than one place in the league, I would say. And they obviously can't go any higher. So their season's essentially over. I'm sure within their four walls of their changing room, that'll not be the message for Martindale, but like, essentially their season's done. So I wasn't overly surprised that Ross County won, and I wasn't overly surprised that Motherwell beat Kilmarnock either, because Motherwell are... they are a no bad side, certainly at home as well. And I know you said they were probably the forum team. I think we were probably the forum team going into the weekend from the bottom six teams. There was one favour done for us from elsewhere, but it's still in our hands. Like, that's what I'm trying to scrap about thinking of positives as I'm sitting here just now. It's still in our hands. We've got our two. I think St Johnstone, they're probably not safe, but They're sitting pretty 5 points clear of the bottom. We four left. And I think that we've now got our two main rivals at home. And these are they're massive games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I thought we started, you know, relatively well in the front foot with a couple of half chances. There were no kind of more than that. I think Ian Hart's or a header early doors put a lot of pressure on the boy Brown. He was sticking the boy to play for fun with Seaman. But you know, there wasn't much between the teams the whole game, not let alone the first half. I get given the chances, and both keepers weren't really tested. I thought Barraghetti took a couple of good crosses, which was really good. He had one really good save. And again, their keeper didn't have much. But, you know, in the opening half hour, nothing much between them. and it might have been who was kind of more counterintuitive on the counter-attack, who'd done more on the counter-attack at times, because it was a wee bit scrappy at times, wasn't it?
Yeah, it wasn't a good game of football. I think you've kind of summed it up not too bad there. The first, we started quite well. I thought that the fans were up for it at the start of the game, certainly. We were on the front foot. We had a couple of kind of chances. Niskanen was in a couple of times as well. Maybe you would have hoped that he would have done a wee bit better at the end of the move. And then I just felt like, I don't know, maybe 25, 30 minutes into the half, we were just sitting off them. We had enough numbers back behind the ball, and we were in defensively in the right areas. But it was one of the games again where we just seemed content. We allowing their players to travel forward with the ball until they got to a certain point, and we were just sitting far too deep. And obviously it butt us in the arse. We an absolutely dreadful goal to concede right on half time, I think it was right on half time. It was just poor. Like I was quite disappointed. Like, and I've seen some people like being kind of throwing the team under the bus yesterday. Like I get it, because like my disappointment comes from the fact that we had appeared to have possibly turned the corner. We'd won three in a row. We were showing a different side to the team that we hadn't seen. And although we didn't go back to the old ways that we have previous games this season, where like accusations can be levelled at players, I didn't feel it was a day like that, but it just didn't seem like they were as up for it as what they should have been. And I don't know why that is. I don't know if it's nerves, but like that was the chance to pull St Johnston in. That was the chance to go above them. Like it was a one-off game if you wanted to put it like that. Win it and you go above them, and that. Now, I get, because Ross County won, it wouldn't have created any more distance between you and the bottom of the league, but it would have been four in a row that you've won. Your momentum still going the right way. But I just think for the majority of the game, certainly after the first 20, 25 minutes, we made it easy for them. And they were not great shakes, like, but we made it easy. We kept playing high bars up to Fletcher. If St Johnstone are good at anything, it's dealing with high bars. We didn't really get anybody in and around Fletcher either. And it wasn't Fletcher's best game. He was kind of off it, like a lot of boys yesterday, I felt, were off it. And again, I'm not saying it was because they weren't trying. It's like you can have an off day. It's just like we're running out of games. Like we can't afford to have too many off days. Like we've only got four games left. You can't have an off day. Certainly can't hear next week, no, against your direct rivals.
No, there was a couple, like you say, a couple of half chances. You know, I mean, Iskren got into the box a couple of times and created a wee bit of trying to no clear chances, but enough to say, well, we're getting into those positions. We do anything with it. Berghese had a couple of saves again. You'd be disappointed, you know. I mean, he has a really good one with his foot, whatever, to block, and then I think the Graham Carey one. I can't mind. The Montgomery and Carey have chances. But again, standard sort of blocks. Like this, it would be disappointing if he conceded them, you know, given the up and down season he's had. But again, another player that we've said and we spoke at Reese seems to have turned a corner slightly, given everything that's went back. And listen, as soon as he sees that hairy beast of a man in Stevie May, he's probably thinking, can the worst nightmares are coming in. Like you say, we spoke about it when it happened. Kind of worst player in the park, worst player at football. You know, when you give him a chance, a yard out to slide in on you, that'll give you nightmares, you know? But the goal itself is just, there's so many, like, we don't, you know, we just seem to stand still. We seem to stand still during it.
Yeah.
Just make it easy for the boy.
At the time, you, when you're there in the moment, you only see it once. And like I genuinely thought, how has Barragetti let that in? Now, I have since seen it back, and like the one man you can't blame for the goal is probably Barragetti. Like, it's just a throw in. How has it not been dealt with? I don't know what Mulgrew's doing. I don't care if he's trying to hit it, chest it, knee it, kick it. I don't care what he's trying to do. It just hits off him. But as you say, Abdi Ars is just static. There's no movement. There's no desire to get to the bar first and to get it out the box. And then it falls to that boy that sleeps under a bridge, and he scoffs it.
He's a swing and a miss.
he scluffs it, but he scluffs it right to his teammate, and he just prods it in like a wee fucking avenue or a space, and like that was it. You were 1-0 doing. Just an absolute shite goal to lose.
And really on half time.
Yeah, which it's a good time to score, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a good time to score. And then, because it's right on half time, they come out second half. And like I don't know if you noticed or no, but the amount of time wasting that they were doing all game.
Yep.
All game. So a draw was good for them yesterday. And like you could tell straight, I'm not saying they were playing for a draw, they were probably playing to keep it tight and hit us on the break. But once they got their noses in front, the time wasting just got ramped up. Anybody that got brushed against a United player, they went down like they'd been shot, and the refs just fell for it every single time. It was unbelievable. Now, I didn't blame them for doing it. I blame the ref, as I keep saying, for no clamping down on it. It was pathetic. And something else I've noticed this season as well that really pisses me off. Boys going down with head knocks, when in my opinion, it's no a fucking head knock, but they go down because they can. That the ref's going to hit stop the game. It's cheating.
Yeah.
Well, that's me splitting hairs. But these things were happening all day yesterday.
Well, there was one yesterday that he never even touched his head, but he went down and had his head, and it held the game up for a couple of minutes. And
these things, they usually happen in like the rain box. Mm-hmm. And that's when they'll go down. So like it stops attacks. It's gamesmanship. Like we got out shitehoused yesterday as much as beat on the part of the scoreline. Like we really did. And it was tough to take. It's really, really disappointing that we allowed that to happen to ourselves. Mm. But we did.
What did you feel going in at half time? And how would you have felt going in at half time 3 minutes earlier?
Honestly, I didn't see us scoring a goal. I just didn't. I feared the worst when it was 1-0. Like you try and remain upbeat because of what's happened, and we have come back before. But I just yesterday didn't. I thought we were far too passive. We were just sitting after them, allowing them to get the ball into areas that we were struggling to deal with. Doing our right hand side, for example, the boy Montgomery was an absolute fanny as well. He was just doing what he wanted. It was a few levels down for what the performances have been the last few weeks, in my opinion. And I just thought we're going to struggle for a goal. So that was my thought at halftime. Like, but please be wrong, but I kind of see us scoring a bit.
Yeah, I thought, again, the first 15 minutes into the second half, I thought we were trying to put more pressure on, trying to create some chances, and then we give a very poor referee a very poor decision to make on 61 minutes. At the time, I thought he got it wrong. I saw it back. I thought he still got it wrong. And it's just, this is another, again, I hate sounding like we bash into referees, right? But they don't help themselves, especially when you've got VAR and it's meant to happen. And there'll be other decisions we'll mention the day. For the referee yesterday. For me, for somebody at the time, got to see it for a couple angles, because I was out the country watching it, and I think it's a yellow card, right? At most. I think it's a yellow card. I don't think it's a red. You could see a goal scoring opportunity that wide. I didn't think so. I'm not so sure. He also, the annoying thing is, and it's silly, it's dark, whatever you want to call it, right? Because he wins the ball, the first one. I think it's the second touch he gets. But the referee can't see that for where he is. The referee cannot see this. And the boy Hallberg, talk about complete funny. Like, I think it's that reaction that gets it. Because I generally think the referee's probably getting a yellow card. I don't know this for fact, because referees didn't speak out. And I'm thinking, nay, danger. And then when the red card comes out, I'm just thinking, nah, you can't.
Well, happened right in front of me, Rondo. That was roughly where I was sitting yesterday. And I was near greeting when I saw that foot race, because Mulgrew, he's painfully slow these days. He's painfully slow when it comes to, because the boy Hal, it's not even like he's getting ripped for some speed demon. Like the boy Hallberg, he's maybe like average-paced football player, I would say. But he made up the ground on Mulgrew, and Mulgrew gets there first, and he's got to do better. Like, he's got to put the bout. Now, he's the football player. I'm the dafty talking in front of a microphone. But he'll maybe say, well, I did try to put it out, but at half Hallberg and it's tied in and whatever. He then kens exactly what he's doing and trying to bring the boy, or at least try to impede him. He's maybe not trying to bring him down, he's trying to impede him because, like, he was, whether or not he would get the ball, I didn't ken. But I wasn't surprised. It was a red card. And I'm not sitting here saying that's because I thought 100% it was a red card. But given some of the decisions that we've seen this season, I wasn't surprised. And some of the defence of that decision was that, well, I think Aina might have got back. Like, Aina was nowhere near it. It was basically between the keeper and Hallberg at that point of contact when Mulgrew hits him. So, as you say, though, it was quite far out wide. And it's one of them. Again, it comes down to interpretation. Like, is it a goal scoring opportunity for there? Maybe no, but it's like when Mulgrew's walked off, Goodwin's grabbed him because obviously everyone gets checked by VAR. And I was like, there's no way this is getting overturned. Like, there's just no way. There's things that we see almost on a weekly basis that VAR doesn't overturn when they should. But that, it was a foul. There's no doubt about it. It was a definite booking. But it's shitey to say it, but I can understand why the ref's sent him off. Because if the ref does feel like he has wiped him out and he was going right through on the keeper, then in the ref's mind, it is a goal-scoring opportunity.
I'm not even sure he'd have got onto the Endy's in touch.
No, neither am I. I'm agreeing with you. I think probably a yellow card. But what I'm saying is, if you're that daft arse or ref, well, let's be honest, didn't cover himself in glory at any point in the afternoon. That's possibly... there's some decisions we've seen this year and you're like, I can't imagine what the ref's thinking to give that. But this one, I could kind of understand it. If he thinks Mulgrew's took him down and the guy was getting on the end of that, if the ref's clear in his own mind that that's what he thinks is going to happen, then I totally understand why he sent him off.
Do you think you might appeal it?
No, because you'll know, won't it? You'll know, won't it? Would you appeal it?
Well, I mean, I think there's enough chat, especially like on Sports Scene, they were like, nah, no hint. They didn't think it was a red card.
No, I agree. But I've got no faith that the people in the suits that make these decisions will get it right. Zero. So, nah, unless Mulgrew's going to pony up some of his own money to appeal it, then I just think it's a waste of time. I kind of see him getting off of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which poses, obviously, the question going forward to how we line up next week, but we'll get to that. Mm-hmm. It was obviously that frustration that was given. It was going to be a big half hour ahead. And obviously we're going to try and go for it as much as we can, given the substitutes that were made, which, again, it's, I know we're chasing the game and stuff, but I thought to myself watching it thinking, you know, we're in a go here. And like, keep putting me back to, would previous managers done this? Like, yeah. What on the line? Because I'm imagining Jim Goodwin's thought, we could lost 1-0 or 2-0 here, but it doesn't really matter. You know, the goal difference is, it's okay for us, you know, given the other teams, but you're maybe thinking, we could beat 2-0 when we went for it, then go for it. I mean, bearing in mind, we ended the game with a back three that included Aziz Biyech, Loic Aina, and Ilmari Niskanen. Like, I mean, that's mental stuff.
Two wingers and a burn.
Yeah, but certainly went for it after that. We only really had probably a couple of chances. Niskanen had a really good cross across the 6-yard box that nobody got onto. Well, a couple of boys tried to go on it. Then Stephen Fletcher at the death near took the post out the ground.
Head in hands. They're in the stadium when that happened, Rondo. Mm-hmm. Head in hands. Deserved better. No, like, that's one thing that... And that's how at the start when I said I'm really disappointed, but mirroring the result and like the performance as well, but I'm disappointed because I think that we've let ourselves down. I didn't think that we hit the heights that we can. I'm not disappointed because the players let Abdi down because they just gave up easily. That didn't happen yesterday. Like, we probably out of necessity, we still went for it. You know, it didn't. The one good thing that, or the one positive you can say is, it didn't look like we had 10 men for a lot of that last 30 minutes of the game, it really didn't, or 36 minutes, because it was an awful lot of injury time. And we gave it a go, but it was just, we just seemed to be, in my opinion, we just seemed to play into their hands all the time. And even towards the very end of the game, when we threw on Big Edwards, I never thought that would work. I don't think if we've ever seen him up front before. He can score the odd header for a set piece or whatever, but I don't know, can. Like, it was basically a last chance saloon, was it? It was like, we're out of options here.
Yeah.
One thing I was surprised at was Middleton never came on. Mm. I thought Middleton would maybe get a run out, but maybe the way that the game was going, he must have thought, like, we're no one to risk him for, or whatever. Maybe he's not quite fit. Maybe it's just a wee boost to him to get him on the bench. Who knows? We'll never know. But
it definitely feel maybe 2-9 up.
Yeah, yeah. But like, he's a forward player, isn't he? Mm-hmm. And like, it's not like we didn't put forward players on. We put Kudjo on. So I'm surprised that we didn't stick the Middleton on at some point. But hey ho, I think we could have still been playing and we wouldn't have scored yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was interesting the first change on 70 minutes when Sheep come off, but Rory McLeod went on. You know, it kind of showed that we weren't going to sit here and pat ourselves in or whatever.
Did we not do that at Motherwell? We've done something similar at Motherwell, I think. Because Niskanen then went back to the right back. I mean, Niskanen yesterday, again, like a lot of them, wasn't it great? We knocked his pan in. Couldn't have fault him. And that one cross was an absolute beezer of a cross.
Like you say, in the first
begging
half.
Begging for somebody to get on it.
In the first half, he had that. He chopped back in and then, I think he has a shot. He could maybe play in Fletcher, but it's then going to be on Fletcher's right foot. But it created a corner. Like, we won a corner from it. And it's like, this is the Niskanen we've been screaming out for. Just to get up the park. And like you say, that in there with a cross near the end, I was just begging to be stuck in. Yeah. But, you know, it was...
It's just frustrating, Rondo, you know, because we've been on such a high the last few weeks and the team have shown us what they can do and the fight that they do have in them, the fitness levels, which you could probably say you were able to see again yesterday. And just to lose to... I'm never happy losing to St Johnston, never. I just didn't think they're a particularly great side, certainly not this season. And that's them beat us, have they beat us three times this season now? Have they beat us, maybe they've beat us twice and drew one, I can't mind, but it's beyond the pale. And I don't know what it is with Stevie May, like, he never impresses me. And maybe I'm being really harsh, maybe I'm dipping into the part of my brain that doesn't like Jack Ross because he wears cardies. But Stevie May is Mr. Bang Average at football. And he always seems to make us look stupid, or we make him look excellent. It's ridiculous. He's no fast, he's no big, he's no strong. And yet he just torments us somehow, some way.
Three wins for St Johnston this season, yeah.
It's just stinking, a stinking record. But it's done. It's in the past. We didn't hate to play them again this season, thankfully. And didn't hate to go back to their shithole of a ground again either, thankfully. And we just hate to pick ourselves up. Like, we're still 10th. There's another positive. Like, I keep saying, one positive. Well, there's a few positives then. We're still 10th. It's still in our own hands. And the team that's bottom, if we beat them next week, then there's a 4-point gap again with three games left. So... That's got to be the focus. Like, just one game at a time, and I'm sure it is. But I was just disappointed yesterday. I thought everybody and their granny would be up for yesterday just to try and get ahead of them. We were in good form. The mood in the camp must have been absolutely buzzing, and we go and we didn't get the job done. It's disappointing.
The referee yesterday. How the boy Daniel Phillips stayed on the park with a studs up challenge on Craig Sybald, who when the bar then went out of play, Sybald then got booked.
Yeah. He didn't get spoke to, did he?
Nah.
He didn't even get spoke to. I thought it was Considine. I didn't realise it was Phillips. No. That.
Well, that in and out. I mean, you take Considine's as well. I mean, what do you want? How many do you want?
He was just loping, eh?
Phillips' challenge on Sybald. Did he think it was a free kick? Oh, man. But some of the decisions yesterday were just... terrible again. Yeah. Every week, we see, even when we win, we're going, oh, the referees. It's a shambles. It's an absolute shambles.
The refs are at an all-time low. And I keep hearing them on podcasts and seeing them on TVs, ex-refs that are coming out, and they're like, nah, it's no bad referee, and it's fans didn't understand the game. And I don't know, Ken, if you were listening to the radio yesterday, I listened to it coming back in, because our mate Martin was on it. But Bobby Madden was in the studio, and like, he's another end. Like, in fairness to the pundits on the radio, they were saying, look, I think a lot of the time, the refs didn't understand the game. And Madden was like, nah. He's like, you boys didn't understand. He just doubled down on it. And that's what we're up against. These guys are, they walk about with a level of arrogance that just belies their ability. They're just making an absolute tit of themselves. Yesterday, the boy got the piss ripped to him, the Hale game facing Johnston. The Hale game, whether it be rolling about the deck, whether it be time wasting, whatever it was. And he just fell for it at the time. And again, it was sheep that got tell. Go back a couple of years when you're tying that throwing. Like, are you kidding me? There was once we got called offside, and they took the free kick for our half. Mm-hmm. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, it's no big deal, but you're like, how could you be so pedantic and fucking nitpicking about somebody tying an extra 2 yards on a throw-in, and you are allowing a free kick for offside to be taken in the wrong half? Stinking, honestly. I kind of have got ref advisors. I'd love to sign up for that job, as long as I just advise the ref in the United games. Just let me sit in the stand and monitor the ref. They'll probably get sacked every week. Scottish football will crumble because there'll be no refs left.
You're right. It's probably at its lowest at the
minute. Poor. It's really poor.
Given they've apparently got a system that's meant to help.
Well, I don't know what VAR checked yesterday. It would have checked the goal, and it would have checked the sending off. I didn't think there was anything else that stuck out for me, other than like boys tackling like they're in the middle of a kung fu tournament. But like, if the ref's not even getting fouls or whatever, it's, that'll probably not get checked. I don't know. There wasn't much contentious yesterday for the ref to still stick out and have like a horror show or a performance.
Yes,
it's just ruining it for Abdi. And you know what? That's not how we lost. That is not why we lost. But these boys are just ruining the beautiful game. Mm-hmm. With their interpretations and their arrogance. Well, you don't understand. No, you don't understand. Nobody's paid £25 a ticket to come and see you. Like, he was slowing the game down while he's writing, oh, I've booked so-and-so, booked so-and-so. Wait until I've wrote in my notebook, keeper. Get on with you, dick. Fucking Jesus. They drive me insane, and they have been our season.
Yeah. I've never known a season really like terrible. It. Now, given that VAR came in, I've never known a season like it. And even that, we've been through how many times? Like, for the very first game, the Tony Watt one against Motherwell, ever since then, it's been like, I'm not convinced here.
Well, we've had a couple against Motherwell, like the Fletcher penalty as well. Mm. It's, we've got a half-arsed system with VAR. We've got about 3 cameras at the games. Like, we'd be as well filming it on our fucking phones for the stand and saying, right, ref, I've got a tracking angle of that. Look, you've actually made the wrong decision. Again, you're not going to believe that because you're interpreting something else. But the boy yesterday was imagining fouls that were not even happening. Yeah. It was desperate. It was really desperate.
Man of the match?
I would probably say Barraghetti was maybe one of our better players yesterday. Sybald was all right, but there was just too many boys just below par. And we'll just leave it at that, because I could go through them and say he was the very good, he was the very good. So Barraghetti made a couple of saves. The rest were a wee bit below where we need them to be.
Yeah, but like I say, a wee bit of an upturn for Mark Barraghetti, which is certainly a good thing when he's going to be between the sticks, certainly. So we are very much now left with a 3-way battle at the bottom. I think our hopes of sucking St Johnston into it, not quite gone yet, but it's getting pretty close to it. So it looks like it's going to be back to between us, Ross County and Kilmarnock. You would have to say, for us, we are playing both of them at home.
Yeah.
Which is, again, we've used the term a few times, massive.
It really is, Rondo, yeah. And if you could win both of them, and I know it's a massive, massive if you could win both of them, because for me, the nightmare scenario is that we have to go to Motherwell and win, because that's not going to be easy. And obviously, they will have nothing to play for on that day. Nothing. But that could work one of two ways. They could either think, well, they'll be that up for it. We're up for it. We tap a big crowd through and you win. Or they could be carefree and tricks, flicks, just skinning boys. You just didn't know. I just didn't want it to go down to that last game. We've got two games at home against the teams that we are directly fighting with. And we've got one game in a couple of weeks as well against Livingston, who have nothing to play for, albeit it's through there. But it is still in our hands. There's no doubt about it. Next week, though, massive. That will tell us a lot about the squad. They've given us some dreadful results this season. They've given us some really good results and more than half decent performances recently. Next week is the biggest game of the season. Forget your Alkmaars, forget any cup games. Next week is the biggest game of the season.
Yeah, and also I would I can go in and off of somebody's arse if I win 1-0 next week. It really doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
Tickets for the first post-split home match against Ross County are on sale. The club's cry today on social media is "Turn Tannadice Tangerine." So they're encouraging all supporters to wear something tangerine to create a sea of that beautiful colour at Tannadice. There's also a sale at the shop next week, 30% off. Scarves, flags, accessories and much, much more. Tickets for this one, adult tickets, £10. Concessions are a fiver. There is a lot of seats being sold, I do know that. The shed is open as well. You can get all the details on the website, dundeeunitedfc.co.uk, and of course, Ross County beat Livingston 2-0 yesterday. Like you say, I kind of think Livingston have just, That's kind of how the feeling you get. It's like,
But it often happens because they've done very well this season and they were always in the running for top six. And they've missed it because they went on a fairly stinking run of form and they've missed it on the last game before the split. And a lot of the time, that's it. Like, it's very hard for the sort of teams to rise to the levels that they were previously showing. So, I mean, again, like, that might work in your favour when we play them, but they've also got to play Kilmarnock, so it might work in Kilmarnock's favour as well. So we just say to take care of our own business, Rondo, starting next week. And no convince we'll fill Tannadice. If we could get three stands bouncing, that would be something. Now, of course, that helps the players. When you've got fans filling behind both goals, of course, that is that's a massive thing. Like, let's make it happen.
Right. Let's get into it this week. Over to you, Paul, for the good, bad, and the ugly.
This week, in the position that we find ourselves in, when you lose, it's very hard to find a good Rondo. But Killy losing, and the fact that at least we never lacked effort yesterday, is the few positives that I can think of. So that's where good. The bad, well, just how flat everything felt. Barring a couple of attacking flurries, there wasn't really much to get behind. Even the fans fell a bit flat out the game for about 30 minutes in. And considering that we could have went above St Johnstone with a win, I mean, it was fairly disappointing yesterday. And the ugly, to the shock of no one. The ref, falling for every type of shitehousing trick in the book, he was absolutely abysmal yesterday. At one point, he pushed Barraghetti back about 2 yards when he was taking a free kick from close to his own 6-yard box. I've no idea how much advantage the ref thought we were gaining for that. And then a mere 5 minutes later, when United got caught offside, he's allowed St Johnstone to take the free kick from United's own half. Utterly hopeless. And regardless of ex-refs coming out on a weekly basis and sticking up for these guys, it isn't a fooling anyone that attends these games. In the main, they're generally hopeless. And Alan Muir seemed to want to prove that he was on a whole new level of hopelessness yesterday. Absolutely stinking.
Ah, that's always fun. That's always fun. Right, let's move on. I'm imagining your loan report after this week's going to get quieter and quieter for the next few weeks, is it?
Thankfully, yeah. Boys are coming at the end of their spells. So we'll start with Tony Watt. So I'll mention him this week, but his season is done as he is apparently injured. So, Nailock. Declan Glass at Cove Rangers. Amazingly, in the last game of the season, Paul Hartley decided to start Deco as his side faced Morton at home, knowing that they had to win in any hope of being safe. His side would get off to the worst possible start when they'd fall a goal behind in just 2 minutes. It was tense and tight for the remainder of the half until the 44th minute, when Deco would get himself on the score sheet. He'd pick the ball up 30 yards from goal and smash it into the top corner. 1-1 at halftime. Early into the second half, and Cove's chances were further increased as Morton were reduced to 10 men. However, in the 72nd minute of the match, Cove's fate was sealed as Morton scored through ex-United man Robbie Muirhead, and that was all that she wrote for the wannabe sheepshaggers. Deco played the full 90 minutes of this match, but to look on this loan spell as anything other than a disappointment would be crazy. He'll now head back to Tannadice, and who knows what lies in wait for him. Chris Mochrie at Dunfermline. It was the final game of the season for Chris and the last game of his loan spell in Fife on Saturday. And what better place to round things off, Rondo, than in Alloa? He'd spend the first 59 minutes of the match on the bench before getting on for the last half hour. The game would finish 2-0 to the Pars, and as I've previously mentioned, Chris heads back to Tannadice as a league winner and hopefully full of confidence. Leighton Bisland at Peterhead. On the back of being relegated last week, Leighton would play the full 90 minutes for his side as Falkirk came to Peterhead. It was more of the same for his side, however, as Falkirk would run out three winners on the day. It's probably a little bittersweet for Leighton, as he has went out on loan, he's got plenty of game time and experience, but ultimately had to suffer the ignominy of relegation. Adam Hutchison, Finn Robson and Darren Watson at Forfar. It was the last game of their loan spell for Adam, Finn and Darren, and two of them would start the game. Adam was in his usual spot of centre-half, and Finn would also start in the middle of midfield. Adam played the whole match whilst Finn was subbed off on 66 minutes for Darren Watson. It was a difficult afternoon for the Bridie Munchers, as they were down to 10 men for 60 minutes of the match, but they would still run out winners on the day due to the 89th minute winner. Great way to end the season, even if it will have been disappointing that they never made the playoffs. You would have to believe that Adam and Finn will be better for their experience this season, whereas Darren was really unfortunate with injury on his loan spell. Flynn Duffy at Stirling Albion. Flynn finished his loan spell at Stirling by playing 73 minutes of their game at Albion Rovers. His side would lose 2-0 on the day, but it was a result that meant nothing as they were already crowned champions last week. Jacob Comerford at Cumbernauld Colts. Jacob started his side's Lowland League Cup quarter-final against East Stirling at the Falkirk Stadium yesterday. His Colts side dominated the first 45 minutes of the match, but had their keeper to thank for keeping the scores level at half-time due to a fantastic penalty save. The pattern continued in the second 45 with Colts pressing for the goal to ensure progress. Despite several clear-cut chances, the game looked destined for extra time. However, with Jacob pushed forward into midfield for the last 10, another lone player scored right at the death, ensuring a well-deserved win. As a result of this win, Jacob will head to Broadwood next week for the semi-final against Bowness. Logan Chalmers at Tranmere Rovers. No idea how Logan will get on this week. He's missed the last few games with injury, and his side aren't scheduled to play until Monday, when they play their last game of the season at home to Northampton Town. Carl Johan Eriksson at Nordsjælland. Carl Johan's team played the second leg of their Danish Cup semi-final against FC Copenhagen last Monday and lost. Not his fault though, as he was sat on his arse the whole game. Today, as we are recording this, his side will again play FC Copenhagen, this time in the league. Will he play? Will he buggery? The Academy team. The Academy lads welcomed Queen of the South to Gussie last Tuesday afternoon, and it was one of the most one-sided games that I've seen for a while. United battered their Dumfries opponents on the day, running out 7-0 winners. The scorers on the day were Darren Watson, Craig Moore, Finn Robson with a double, Stuart Heenan, Sean Borland, and a Flynn Duffy rocket. As for Big Rory Adams in the goal, he will only have needed a shower after that one. The women's team. The ladies headed for New Douglas Park last week, knowing that a win would put a really comfortable distance between the teams, but it was not to be. They start the game well and take the lead through goal machine Danny McGinley. McGinley herself was fouled on the edge of the box before picking herself up to smash the resulting free kick into the bottom corner of the net. Into the 26th minute, and the Aggies would get a fortunate equaliser. The Hamilton forward raced onto a ball and her cross from a tight angle was parried by the best goalie in the league, and the ball would trickle over the line. Both teams would have chances to add to their tallies, but a combination of good goalkeeping and poor finishing would ensure that the match would finish 1-1. That meant that the ladies headed through to Ainslie Park to face Spartans last Wednesday, still looking to secure their safety in the top league this next season and get off to a flyer. With just 4 minutes on the clock, Danny McGinley had smashed home her second free kick in 4 days. 2 minutes later, however, and Spartans would draw level. Heard the bus, though. Another 2 minutes passed, and United again went back in front, this time from a Georgie Robb 30-yarder that she drilled high into the net. The game settled down a little after that frantic start, with the goalie making some important saves and United having chances of their own. By the time half-time had come around, it was still 2-1 to United. Into the second half, and disaster struck. In a 12-minute spell, the good guys, girls, would concede 3 goals, and before you knew it, they were 4-2 down. To further compound matters, manager Graham Hart was then shown a straight red card. The team managed to settle down a little after this period, and McGinley then came close to getting her third on the night, when she rattled the crossbar with a fierce effort. Unfortunately for United, that would be all she wrote in this one, and Spartans ended up with a massive 4-2 win, a result that still keeps United in the mire at the bottom of the league. Today, as we are recording this, they face Motherwell at Gussie. Another game that will be far from easy.
Who is down near the bottom of that league then? What's the what do they need to do?
Glasgow girls are they're away. Okay. They are on nae points probably. I think they've lost every game. And then you've got Hamilton and then United, I believe. And I think there's a 5-point gap between the teams. And then Aberdeen are kicking about there as well. So United still need a win or two. Need a win or two to make them... Like, they won't go... They cannot go directly down.
It's a playoff set.
But there is a playoff, yeah. Okay. There is a playoff place. And the team that's going to come up next year are Montrose.
I've seen that, yeah.
Rumour has it, Sean Dillon shaving his legs and tanning again on a Sunday. So
Sean Dillon shaving his legs.
That's what I've heard.
I probably wouldn't worry too much about Aberdeen today because they're currently getting pumped 5-2 at half time.
From?
Spartans,
nah. Well,
and I've mentioned it before. The only reason I keep an interest in this is because my mate is the coach of Aberdeen Women at the minute, and it fills me with joy when I see such scorelines.
Get them pumped.
So yeah, they're currently 5-2 behind at the moment. Very short email from Steve Ross this morning. I'll just read it word for word for you, Paul. Hi guys, that was shite yesterday in so many ways, but onwards we go. The over 50s are in action in the East Region League at the RPC next Sunday the 14th. We have 4 games to play on the day, then see you at night for the live show. Usual Wednesday and Sunday sessions. Sorry for the late update. So thanks very much, Steve. If you want to get details, dundeeunitedct.co.uk. And of course, if you would like to join the foundation, you can get all those details at dusf.scot. Here we are. Who am I? It's getting close, Paul. There's only like 2 points in it or something at the minute.
Look at last round, though. I'm not competitive at all.
31-29 at the moment. Any feedback on your clues last week?
No, I think, no that I can remember anyway, but I think the clues were fair enough. I think you yourself thought that you should have got it one before. Yep. Yeah, you had it. And that's happened to me a few times as well, where I've had the player in my mind and I thought, can it be him? And then you get the next clue and you're like, fuck, it's him. It was decent last week, I would say. It was decent.
Okay. That would have been unlike, decent unlike a better week. Points. No, so this one I've actually had. So we're going in too much detail, right? I keep a note on my phone, and when I think of a player, I'll stick him in there, right? I'll just go, oh, that's a name or whatever. If I see something on Twitter or one of the Twitter page that shares loads of the ex-players and stuff, or something, take one of them. Oh, that's quite a good end. Yeah. And then what I've been doing is I've started to write some clues, and then I've maybe just never got to that player. So this one's been here for weeks, might even be months, but it was right at the bottom of the note, so I didn't see it. And then last night, I seen it and I thought, well, she is that the day. So here we are.
Here
so
we
5 points
are.
So incoming.
So these have been wrote weeks ago, then, when you were in the midst of your shite clues. Is that what I'm hearing?
No, it might even be longer than that. Like I said, it was right at the bottom of my note. So this has probably been there for a while. I've currently got a list of six other players that I'm working through at the minute, you know.
So you can, six episodes left.
You could probably work out that it's probably not a current player. That's probably the only thing you can get for that, right?
Yeah.
Or not. Who knows? So, are you ready for clue number one? Which, of course, you get right. You get 5 points, second clue, 4 points, third clue, 3 points, fourth clue, 2 points. And if you need to wait to the end, you get 1 point. And if you have a complete no hunt of it, you get nil point. Ready?
I'm ready. I'm ready, Rondo.
How ready are you on a scale of 1 to 10?
I'm beyond ready.
Full buzzing. Clue number one. Our player made his debut in a game against Celtic at Tannadice. He was booked in the game. He got an assist and he was also subbed off in an eventful first 71 minutes in a United shirt. Now, people could say that's a shitey clue, but there's a lot of detail in that clue.
I mean, there is, but we've played Celtic 862 times, so I mean, and half of them will be at Tannadice. So I'm just trying to narrow it down in my head. Don't we got much? I'll come up with something now. I'll come up with something that will be completely the wrong. Magnus Skoldmark.
It's no Magnus Skoldmark. Clue number two for 4 points. He was signed for £175,000 and wore the number 11 shirt.
Ooh.
I mean, talk about clues.
Wow. I think I told you the other week, I'm absolutely hopeless with squad numbers. That's probably how you're throwing these clues in. I've not really got any. I'm just thinking of completely random players because I think that's maybe what you're doing this week.
I think you'll get it.
Okay, well, Lee Jenkinson. How random do you want?
It's good.
But it's not right.
But it's not right. Clue number three for 3 points. It would allow you to take the lead. He was an England youth and under 21 international who, before rocking up at Tannadice, had been with Arsenal, Hartlepool, Cambridge, Southampton, Man City, Charlton, Bristol City and Darlington before being signed by Paul Sturrock.
That's a lot of teams. 175,000 played, signed by Luggy. I do hear a name, but I don't think it's him because I can't believe he would have assisted a goal. Is my time run out yet? Because I can't hear you.
Time's run out.
Right, David Worrell.
David Worrell.
Did he even get signed for Loggy?
It's not David Warren.
Okay. I'm not any closer. I'm not any closer to getting this at all.
To draw level.
On the leveler.
His 18 months at Tannadice were blighted by injury. He made only 14 appearances.
14 appearances.
And in December 2001, he left to join Plymouth Argyle. Now, I haven't checked this, but they might have been managed by Paul Sturrock by that time. So in his 18 months at Tannadice, he was blighted by injury. He only made 14 appearances. And in December 2001, he left to join Plymouth. And they might have been managed by Luggy at that point, but I'm not 100%. Your 30 seconds have just started.
Yeah. I'm thinking Hasne Al Joffrey, just because of the Plymouth link. I'll not be him. He played more than 14.
Also didn't wear the number 11.
No.
Also played more than 14.
It's a boy, a winger.
Yep.
Winger. $175,000. You didn't say who was signing for, did you? You said he played for all these millions of teams.
I'm pretty sure he was signed for Darlington.
Darlington.
That's the last team on that. That's the last team listed, so that's who I think it's from.
No, I didn't hear a name, Rondo. I'm absolutely out. So I can't attack that. I can't even level this week, which is a disaster.
Clue number 5. For the first time ever, I have used one of these clues.
Mm-hmm.
His name sounds like...
Oh, sounds like...
Fucking hood it together. His name sounds like... I've just realised how shite this is. His name sounds like Meal Beanie.
Meal Beanie. That will be Neil Heaney.
Correct.
He was a winger, wasn't he?
He was a winger, yeah. Yeah.
I've no idea he played for that many teams. I tell you what I remember about him. I've got an image of him wearing the green strip, so he must have wore the green strip.
In his very first game against Celtic.
Is that right? Was that the game? Did McCracken score that game?
Yep, he assisted
any
it.
Chance?
Neil Heaney assisted it.
Right, well, I've also got another memory of Neil Heaney scoring an own goal at Tynecastle.
Maybe.
Maybe. I'm sure he did. Okay. I'm sure he did. I'll have to check that when we're done, but... Neil Heaney, man, that was a hard in the day around.
So the team that day, against basically playing against a Martin O'Neill Celtic team that was really, really good then in 2000. Alan Coombe, Jim Patterson, David McCracken, Hasne Al Joffrey, Jason DeVos, Craig Easton, Davey Hanna, Neil Heaney, Jamie Buchan, Stephen Thompson, Alex Mathey. On the bench, Pat Onstad, John McQuillan, Tassos Vanitas, who came on for Heaney that day, Jim Hamilton, and Stephen McConnellogue. There you go. Go beat 2-1. Go beat 2-1.
Yeah. I think I used that game as a clue when I had McCracken. Mm. When I chose McCracken a few seasons back on this particularly shite game that we play.
Yeah. So yeah, we were in the green and that green and white strip, or whatever you want to call it. But that was the strip. Yeah. So there you go. Right, live show's a week today, Paul.
Yes. Looking forward to it, Rondo. Got to be honest. Looking forward to it.
Yeah.
I've not absolutely started panicking yet. I think that's maybe because I've started on the CBD oil and that's meant to be good for your anxiety. So I've just been drinking pints of that. Got to feel my feet nor my head. So it's absolutely fantastic.
Life is just one big floating adventure.
Oh, it's great. Like my boss has pulled us up every day. Are you sleeping again? Sorry. Yeah. So I'm very relaxed and chilled right now.
Why have you got any trousers on?
So, well, yeah, it's just this. I kind of feel where my trousers normally go. So, what's the point in putting them on?
Yeah, we will be celebrating our greatest day 40 years ago. It's going to be a lot of fun. We'll be joined by Hamish McAlpine, John Holt, John Riley, Morris Malpass, and Paul Hegarty. The first half of the show will be all about a look at that season. And 82-83, we'll then have an interval. And then in the second half, we'll be asking your questions. So if you've never been to one of our shows at the Gardine before, doors open, or the bar opens rather, at 6:30. The auditorium opens at 7:00. The show starts at 7:30. So when you come in, you will be able to go over to a table and fill in a Q&A card, ask your question, whoever you want to ask it to. Don't waste your question by wanting to ask me or Paul a question. Like, just
you can if you want, but that. It's such a waste. Just DM waste me it. Your question, it's fine.
Or, well, I was going to say something to get you in trouble there, so no bother. or links to his OnlyFans. But yeah, you do that. And also, raffles will be on sale as well. It's £2 a ticket. We've got framed A3 framed prints of all our guests signed. I'll be in there. There is a signed Ian Harkes. There's a couple other wee bits and bobs going on there as well. It's £2 a ticket, and again, it allows us to make a. There's a signed ball as well. I think that was the shape Paul was doing to me there. There's a signed ball. I want to say it's one of the retro balls, but it's actually the current squad that have signed it. That's quite unique, I think. So there's that in there as well. So yeah, a lot of fun. That's £2, and again, the more tickets people buy, the bigger donation we can make to the food banks and stuff like that. Given all the shite that's went on over the weekend, and spending a lot of our money to put things on, when all these food banks need more support than ever, people rely on them more and more, and if we can make a donation to that to help in any small way, then it is very, very much appreciated. We haven't made a complete Noel Hunt of the ticket situation. We do have more tickets this time, because a lot of people were just buying like 5 tickets for a tenner. I'm not encouraging to do that, but it would be nice if you did. So more people should be able to buy it. The raffle happens during the second half. You can only buy them usually before the show, but we will tell you if that changes on the night. But yeah, so first half, 82-83, we'll take you through the season. And the second half, you can ask questions of those guys and whatever. It'll start at 7:30. It'll wrap around about 10:30, because we're trying to give you some value for your cash. You know what I mean? Right. You spend an extra 17 pence and go see 12 boys that spent their time getting relegated in another wee team. But there you go. So that's next week. Paul will maybe be off his tits. It'll be class. Can't wait. So on this day, in association with the Arab Archive, preserving the history of Dundee United Football Club since 2006, final bit of business for today. One game, Paul, one birthday, and a signing to tell you about. We are heading back to the exceptional year that was 1982. United went into the match knowing that anything except a win would mean Celtic would win the title on their home turf. On top of that, they also desperately required at least a point in their final home match of the season to be able to catch St Mirren in fourth spot. Sitting with a point more and a game in hand, Paul Hegarty headed in front with 18 minutes played and just 20 seconds in the second half. Paul Sturrock smashed in a second, and with 10 minutes left, Ralph Milne swerved around Roy Aitken and drove in the third as United jump into fourth spot on the table. Sit yourself down, people. It finished that day, United 3, Celtic 0.
Amazing.
Our signing didn't have the best spell at United after agreeing a pre-contract to join us from Hibs. He went on to make 22 appearances, scored 4 goals on this day in 2017. We signed James Keatings.
Yeah, he didn't really do anything, did he? And that was when we were in a lower league as well. So, yeah, it was a strange one. I think he was a player that had something, but for whatever reason, you know, maybe it was personal, mental, I don't know, but he just never done it at Tannadice.
No, he didn't. Our birthday boy joined on loan, but after playing just 45 minutes, suffered an ankle injury and returned to his parent club. Born on this day in 2001, Tim Akinola turns 22.
Happy birthday, Tim.
I think we discussed this at the time, right? What do you think the manager seen that we didn't? Because I thought he looked all right that day.
No idea.
Barely kicked the ball.
I've no idea. It was. He was hooked at half time. I don't know. maybe he was one of these guys that just got given to the manager. Mm. I mean, I don't know how these things work, or certainly worked in the past at Tannadice. Maybe that was the case, and the manager then thought he doesn't fit in with what he's trying to do. Who knows? But then he did pick up a legitimate injury, and that was him done for the season. But it was a strange one. But then that's what you get a lot of time for loans. You know, it's I'm not saying it never works out. Like Dylan Levitt worked out last season. Of course, some loans do work out, but when you're scrapping about for loans in January, often, or probably more often than not, it doesn't work out. I think we've landed lucky this season with Aina, and I do believe that it's luck rather than anything else. I'm sure other people would tell you different, but like he did seem to come out of nowhere, but he's came in and he's done a very good job for us, so we seem to be lucky with that. But Tim Akinola, there's not going to be many people remember him in the fullness of time.
No. So next weekend, not only is it the live show, but there will be an episode as normal on Monday morning. It will just be the episode as normal. Again, the shows get basically kept under wraps. There's no guarantee they get brought. They do get recorded, but it doesn't mean they do get broadcasted. So just bear that in mind if you're expecting to hear from the legends of that next week. It will just be the episode as normal, looking back on what could be a massive, massive weekend. We go again. Ross County at Tannadice on Saturday. How do you think we'll get on? We're at Dode Fox Podcast on social media. Do you have a great week? Stay safe. And don't forget, as always, wash your hands and your arsehole.